I want to add my encouragement to our visitors to stay and enjoy the lunch with us and to celebrate one of our wonderful members. Margaret Winters is turning 90, and so we want to honor that, not only for her age, but for the fact that she and her husband have been such great people to help this church for so many years until he passed away. And Margaret remains as the person who has been a member of this church longer than any other of our members. And we hope that you will enjoy this lunch that we have prepared for everyone. I have been asked to express to Margaret and to all of you, Bob and Ann Rowland, who worked with us for about 12 years, he was the song leader and associate minister, were planning to be here. But last night, Bob became ill and had to go to the hospital, and so they wanted me to especially express to Margaret that they wanted so much to be present for this occasion. And we just received word that Bob will probably be going home from the hospital, and it was good that he went to the emergency room when he did. So we're thankful for that. I've entitled the lesson, The Problem of Inconsistency. You may relate to this subject because I think everybody is inconsistent, including myself at times. The Apostle Paul addressed this problem of not being consistent with what one believes or with what one wants to become as a person. Listen to these sentences from his writing in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 15. I do not understand what I do. What I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I end up doing. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. That's a description of the inconsistency that we sometimes find in ourselves or find in others. James, the brother of Jesus, wrote to the church along this line about being double-minded. He mentions this word in two places in his book in the New Testament. He illustrates what he means by double-minded by the inconsistency in our speech. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's image. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. And he points out this inconsistency. He does not commend it at all, and we should not commend it, but it is oftentimes a fact of life. There are many of us who have been watching this great video of country music history by Ken Burns on the public television. In the latter part of the series, if you have watched it, it has focused on a great contemporary country music songwriter, Kris Kristofferson, who, unlike many people that you imagine as in country music, was a Rhodes Scholar in English literature, was a pilot in the Rangers Air Force, was assigned to teach at West Point, and then quit all that in order to seek his fortune as a songwriter in Nashville. And he even took a job as a janitor from being a teacher at West Point to be near the industry. He's written so many wonderful phrases and songs, and he was highlighted in this series by Ken Burns. One of my favorite songs written by Kris Kristofferson is about the very theme that I'm talking about this morning, and that's the inconsistency in our lives. He called his song The Pilgrim, chapter 33. One time when he was performing, he named about 12 different stars in the music industry, his contemporaries, who provided the inspiration for the thoughts of his song, The Pilgrim, chapter 33. And one of those was, of course, Johnny Cash. Listen to the words. It shows the inconsistency of one person. He's a poet. Oh, he's a picker. He's a prophet. He's a pusher. He's a pilgrim and a preacher and a problem when he's stoned. He's a walking contradiction, partly truth, partly fiction, taking every wrong direction on his lonely way back home. People who are inconsistent with what they really believe can certainly relate to that sentiment. Now, we agree that Christians should be consistent. Everyone would salute that idea that in behavior and speech and thoughts, we ought to always be consistent. Consistency is the foundation of virtue. Yet, it seems that this is not always possible. I want to distinguish between inconsistency and hypocrisy, although people confuse those related words. They're not identical in meaning, and they're not identical in moral guilt. An inconsistent person deviates from what he believes. The hypocrite acts as though he believes something which he does not believe. Hypocrisy is pretending to have a character, a belief, or a principle that one does not possess, whereas an inconsistent person is one who acts contrary to what he down deep truly believes. The moral blameworthiness between inconsistent and hypocrisy is great. Maybe that's why we explain our own misdeeds as mere inconsistencies, and we judge the misdeeds of others who do the same thing as hypocrisy. But there is a difference between the word hypocrisy and what I'm talking about today. Hypocrisy is such a loaded word with dark condemnation. Everyone is inconsistent in the sense that at some time we will act or think or say something that's contrary to our core beliefs. I guess that's another way of saying everyone is a sinner. As the book of Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, there is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. Or James chapter 3 and verse 12 says, we all stumble in many ways. And as the Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But if we claim we have not sinned, another way of saying if we claim that we have not been inconsistent with what we believe, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. I want to illustrate this by three examples from Scripture of men that you might not realize were as inconsistent at times as they were in their core beliefs. Remember, the hypocrite acts as if he believes something which he doesn't really believe. An inconsistent person acts contrary to what he truly believes. And the first example from Scripture is in the Old Testament of Genesis chapter 20. It's a wonderful story, and it may surprise us to see who is featured in the story about inconsistency. It's Abraham, who is the father of the faithful. In the 20th chapter of Genesis, it tells about Abraham traveling as God was leading him out of his original place of living. And in his travels, he was staying with strange people, people who were not his kin. And he came to this area and stayed for a while in a place called Gerar. His beautiful wife, Sarah, traveled with him. But when Abraham came to this place, he introduced Sarah as his sister. "She is my sister," he said. And then the king of that place, Abimelech, sent for Sarah and took her into his harem. But God came to Abimelech in a dream at night and said, "You are as good as dead because of the woman whom you have taken. She is a married woman." Now Abimelech had not gone near Sarah, and so he said in this dream, "Lord, will you destroy an innocent nation? Did he not say to me, 'She is my sister'? And didn't she also say to me, 'He is my brother'? I have done this with a clear conscience and clean hands." And God said to him in this dream, "Yes, I know you did this with a clear conscience, and so I have kept you from sinning against me. That is why I did not let you touch her. Now return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you and you will live. But if you do not return her to him, you may be sure that you and all yours will die." And so the king Abimelech came to Abraham. And the next morning he summoned and told all of his officials what he had dreamed. And they also were very much afraid. And when he called Abraham, he said to him, "What have you done to us? How have I wronged you that you have brought such great guilt upon me and my kingdom? You have done things to me that should not be done." And Abimelech asked Abraham, "What was your reason for doing this?" And Abraham replied, "There is no fear of God in this place, and I felt that they would kill me because of my wife." Evidently, they didn't think it was right to take a married woman, but they could take a widow. And so he was afraid that they would make her a widow. "Besides, she really is my sister, the daughter of my father, though not of my mother, and she became my wife. And when God had me wander from my father's household, I said to her, 'This is how you can show your love to me. Everywhere we go, you say of me, he is my brother.'" Now that's disappointing, isn't it, of Abraham? Of all people, you would not think Abraham would have done such a thing. It's against everything we believe that Abraham believed at his core. But it shows that even the great man Abraham, at times, out of self-interest, was inconsistent with what he really believed. A second example from the Bible. The prophet Jonah is a man that people can dislike because of his racial attitudes. His racial attitudes were not consistent with his belief system that included a merciful and forgiving God. The book opens with God telling Jonah, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because of its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying his fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. And we know that story of the great storm and the shipwreck and Jonah being cast over the ship and being swallowed by the great fish that God had prepared, and how he was saved from the belly of that fish, and how he pleaded with God to save him. And afterwards, he went to the city of Nineveh. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it to the message that I give you." And Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day Jonah started into the city, he proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned or destroyed. And the Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them turned, the greatest to the least, and they all put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion, and he did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. Jonah's belief system included a compassionate God, a forgiving God, a saving God. Personally, he had experienced that. In the belly of the fish, he cried out, "Lord, save me," and the Lord forgave him and had compassion on him and saved him. That was his personal experience. And you would expect that Jonah, who had received such mercy and forgiveness and compassion, would have incredible joy when the Assyrian people did exactly as he had done and repented and turned to the Lord and had received the mercy and patience and compassion of God. But it did not please Jonah. And Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry that God had saved Nineveh. He prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to run away from you at the beginning to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." Notice, Jonah said, "I knew my belief system was this, that you are a gracious and compassionate God, that you're slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who will relent from sending calamity. I knew you were that. But when I saw it happen, I was very angry at you for doing it, because I don't like these Ninevites." An inconsistent attitude toward what he firmly believed about God. We might turn to the New Testament for an example of how one can be so inconsistent with what he believes. The Apostle Peter struggled with consistency. Maybe impetuous people have more difficulty in this area of being inconsistent than others who are more reflective. But Peter was a very impetuous personality, as you know. One notable time that he acted contrary to what he really believed was in the courtyard of the high priest after they had taken Jesus from Gethsemane. The Gospel of Luke chapter 22 contains this story. "Then seeing him, they led him away and took him to the house of the high priest. And Peter followed at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. And a servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and she said, 'This man was with him.' And Peter denied it and said, 'Woman, I don't even know him.' A little later, someone else saw him and said, 'You also are one of them.' 'Man, I am not,' replied Peter. About an hour later, another asserted, 'Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean.' His speech betrayed him. And Peter replied, 'Man, I don't know what you're talking about.' Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, 'Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. He went outside and wept bitterly. Now, Peter, at his core, believed what he stated when he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." He believed at his core that he would follow Jesus even to death. And he said to Jesus, "Even if everyone runs away from you, I'll be by your side. I am the one man who will be faithful and loyal to you." And yet, in one night's time, he denied his Lord 3 times. Not that he's a hypocrite. He's inconsistent with what he believed. And it's not to make light of that. And you have misunderstood my lesson if I'm saying to you that it's not important or it's not serious that we are inconsistent, but I'm trying to get us to see that we are all inconsistent at times, and that inconsistency is not the same as hypocrisy, so that we not judge ourselves as being worthless, but rather understand ourselves that we sin, and we can seek forgiveness for those times that we are inconsistent with what we believe. And another reason for the lesson is that we might have a more loving eye toward others who do wrong and might not be so quick to judge them as hypocrites and unworthy, but rather as struggling Christians who sometimes just don't live consistently with what we really and truly believe, and might view them with more grace and hope and love. The problem with being so critical of other people who are not hypocrites but simply inconsistent at times in their lives, well, the old Proverbs capture this by saying, it's the pot calling the kettle black, or don't throw rocks if you live in a glass house. I hope then, as we think about these examples, as we think about the problem that we have as human beings of being inconsistent at times, that we will be more understanding and charitable toward ourselves, and that we will be more charitable and understanding of others. This is not to make light or to say that inconsistencies are not something that we should avoid or repent of immediately. The worst consequences of an inconsistency in the life of a believer is the bad reflection on Christ and his church. Our Lord wants the church to be radiant without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, Ephesians 5:25. And that's why we seek not to be inconsistent, is because we know that every inconsistency reflects badly on our Lord. This morning we encourage you to be strong in your faith and not to be discouraged and turn away from your faith because you find a struggle involved in always being consistent with that faith. And if you have an inconsistency in your life, that you pray for forgiveness, knowing that God is a compassionate God. He is a saving God. He's a merciful God, and he will forgive you. We're going to stand to sing. And
I won't take too much more of your time because I know you're hungry. But one of my fondest memories is Lauren and Margaret and going out to their house and having her husband, Lauren, and me doing Bible study of the Old Testament. Margaret would be in another room with Pat. Lauren and I would be going through the Old Testament together. And it's almost 20 years ago. She means a great deal to all of us, as Lauren still means a great deal to all of us. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Precious Lord, we thank you so very much for the many blessings you've bestowed upon us. We pray, Heavenly Father, as we continue in our own treks, that we do so, Heavenly Father, lovingly. We do so, Heavenly Father, with an eye toward taking care of others, seeing that others are comfortable, that others are aware of you. The way that Lauren and Margaret did for so many years for us here at Broadway, we pray, Heavenly Father, we dedicate ourselves. Dedicate ourselves, Heavenly Father, to loving one another as they did. Dedicate ourselves, Heavenly Father, to teaching one another as they did. Dedicate ourselves to selfless love for you and your church as they were. Heavenly Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.